Coming back to the season, right? Okay, so that's why for this season, right? Well, we came up with a new series called "What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do," right? Quite interesting. So in the last 4 weeks, right? Y'all would have heard from Pastor Jonathan and also Brother AJ on what to do, and this is a series, right? A series that we take from Proverbs, right? Little golden nuggets of wisdom, right? From the book of Proverbs. Okay, so week one, Pastor actually shared about wisdom. Right, week two, how to master our tongue, right? Small and yet very dangerous. Okay. No bones but can kill. Okay. Right. Then after that, how to manage our time. And last week you all heard from Brother AJ how to fear the Lord. Right? So today I want to continue on with part five, right, of our series. And it's about how to live a fruitful and full life. Okay? How to live a fruitful and full life. So before I begin, I want to show you a picture. Who likes Garfield? So when I say fruitful and full, is this the first thing that comes in your mind? You know, I grew up in a little village back in Ipoh, right? You know, in the evenings, right, what happened is in the evening after dinner, all those uncles, right, they like to come out, take their rattan chair, put by the roadside, sit down there, and then, you know, they wear shorts and this singlet t-shirt, right? And they roll the shirt up just right over the stomach, you know? And they sit there with a toothpick in hand, right, and then with a fan, picking at it. And the fan, right, it's not to fan themselves, it's fan the stomach, you know. So when I see this picture, I think of that, you know, it's a picture of contentment. Contentment, right? Not so much of fruitful and full, okay? Though he looks very, very full, right? So there are a lot of meaning, you know, when it comes to fruitful and full. But today, right, I want to share with you what it means, right, to be fruitful and full, how to live a fruitful and full life. And I want to narrow down the meaning of fruitful and full here in my message for today. So over the next few slides, I'm going to explain to you a little bit about what fruitful and full is in this message, okay? First thing first, what is fruitful? Okay, I'll show you a picture. Wow. Is this fruitful or not? How about this one? Fruitful, right? You know, fruitful in the context of my message, right, is doing what you're called to do. Just like this tree, okay? Tree, what if that tree is not doing what it is called to do, all right? That means to produce durian fruits, then it will be chopped down and thrown into the fire, okay? All right, so what fruitful here is doing what we are called to do. And you know, when we do what we are called to do, right, it will lead us to an accomplished life, all right? An accomplished life in Jesus, in Christ. Okay, so what is full? Okay, I want to introduce you to a tree called Methuselah. Y'all know who Methuselah is in the Bible, right? He lived to a ripe old age of 696 years, right? 696 years. But this tree is even older. Today is 4,852 years old. Okay, this tree, the type of tree is called a bristlecone pine, right? And it's found in Inyo National Forest in White Mountains, California. Right, so when they found this tree, they thought, wow, this tree is really old. But a few years later, they found an even older tree, which now today is 5,071 years old. Imagine living that long. You know, they calculated, right, when this tree started to grow, right, a little shrub growing at the time, right, the Grand Canyon was forming. Grand Canyon, imagine, wow, kind of put perspective in the timeline, right? Okay, this is how old the tree is. Okay, so when I talk about full here, right, I'm talking about a long life, okay? But a life has to be impactful, okay? It has to be an impactful life. Not just a life that is long, but not impactful at all, okay? Why impactful life? Because you want to know what legacy that you want to leave behind, okay? So now that you know the context of what is fruitful and full here, right, how many of you here wants to live a fruitful and full life, accomplished and long, all right? So I see all those hands. Okay, great. Before I give you the secret, okay, how to live a fruitful and full life, probably a more important question will be, why? Why is it important for Christians, okay, to live a fruitful and full life? You know, I was searching for the through the net and through the Bible, right, and I came across this book by a guy named Dr. Charles Stanley, okay, and he actually wrote in his book, giving the one of the best answers as to why Christians need to live a fruitful life. And in page 63, he says that our faith, all right, I just put an excerpt here, a short one. actually slightly longer. Our faith is known to others through the good deeds that overflow from our character, okay, or the fruit we bear. Right. So I will continue reading on. As a Christian, God did not call me to be a mediocre, religious, morally good person that scrapes through, okay, scrapes by and whittles away the time until Jesus comes. Right? There is that kind of life that God desires of his people whereby they are partaking of the spiritual blessings he offers and thus are able to visibly live the otherwise invincible faith that is inside of each and every one of us. Bearing fruit for Jesus' sake is not a call to trouble-free material prosperity. Let me read that again. Bearing fruit for Jesus' sake is not a call to trouble-free material prosperity. Such a life is not devoid of challenges, hardships, and disappointments. All right. If for anything, it is oftentimes in the face of these alleged challenges that we find out how much we are truly shining forth the overcoming life that depends upon the power of the Holy Spirit. All right. So what to shorten what I just read, right? You know, we are not called to live a life of mediocrity, right? We are not asked to just live a life that, okay, I'll just sit and wait and eat like Garfield and wait for Jesus to come, okay? Right? In fact, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, all right? In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says that, but the people who know their God shall be strong and what? Carry out great exploits, all right? Great exploits. It's not exploits of okay lah, so lah, you know, but you're supposed to live an impactful life, okay? A life that, you know, touches the life of people, that, you know, you live a good legacy of who Jesus is, okay? We are not called to be mediocre, but we are called to carry out great exploits for God, all right, church? So are you ready to carry out great exploits for God or not? Yeah? Come on! Yeah, all right. Okay, so, you know, carrying out great exploits for God is not just doing amazing things without challenges. Like I was saying earlier on, right? It's not going to be a life of bed and roses, you know, where it's going to be smooth. But I can guarantee you one thing, that when you draw your strength from God, okay, God will provide you that strength to overcome, okay? And it is in that moment of challenge in our life, right, that Jesus actually shines through. So when people look at you, right, what do people see? Do they see Jesus or do they see the world? Right? I always say, right, there are two compliments that a Christian can get. One is the best and one is the worst. Can you remember? The best one is when people find out that you're a Christian, they say, yeah, I know. I know you're a Christian because of your conduct, because how you talk, how you carry your life, how you do things, and how you work. You know, but the worst Christian is when people find out that you're a Christian, they say, what? You get what I mean? They couldn't believe that you're a Christian. So, church, I want to ask you today, what type of Christian do you want to become? The first one or the second one? First one, right? Right? It is through our conduct, right? It's through the conduct. So it is actually the fruit of the Holy Spirit that shines through us, that we become a good Christian, a fruitful Christian, that the life that we live, right, is going to be impactful and long. Amen? So, church, now that you know the difference between the best and the worst one, right, the compliment between these two, and you choose, I want to be the best, right? So, the question is how to live a fruitful and full life, right? Important question. I'm going to share with you three keys, okay? Three keys. And to live this fruitful and full life, right, you have to do it by one rule. One. Pastor always say, message must have three keys, but I didn't give you one rule, but the one rule has three keys. It's O-N-E, one. Easy to remember, right? How to live a fruitful and full life? One rule only. And what is the one rule? Three keys. So you have to... Confused, right? So you have to listen, open your ears, listen over the next 15, 20 minutes, right? On what this one rule is all about, okay? So church, are you ready or not? Yeah. All right. The first O in the one rule is obedience, okay? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Let's look at the Bible. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. It says, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, okay, to obey is what? better than sacrifice. Okay, just to give you a little bit of background to this, right? Okay, this is actually Saul. If you actually open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 15, you read the title right at the top there. What does it say? Lord rejects Saul. He's king, you know, King Saul, you know. Okay, Lord rejects King Saul. Why did God reject King Saul? It's because when Saul wanted to go to war with the Amalekites, okay, God told him through Samuel, say that you must wipe out everything, destroy, do not spare anything. But what he did, he actually took back treasures, cattle and all those things, right? And when Samuel confronted him, what did he say? Oh, actually, right, this one I want to give to God as sacrifice. Okay? That's when Samuel said, God say what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, church, if you read the Bible, right, the Bible is actually littered with the word obedience. Obey, obey. God always say obey. Why is obedience so important? Why? Okay? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 2 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For what? Length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. So that is why obedience is so important. Imagine, church, length of days. Wow. Adding life, you know, just by obeying. And what? You get peace. What is peace? You know, earlier I said that your life will not be a bed of roses, correct? Let me just show you what peace is all about, okay? Take a look at this picture. This is a picture of a hurricane, okay? Look at the trees, okay? Hurricane. So hurricanes are actually divided into five categories, okay? Category one is about 120 kilometers per hour to 150 kilometers per hour. How many of you have driven 150 kilometers per hour before? Got it, huh? Okay, actually I got also, okay? That's category one only. One only, you know. Category 5 can go up to 250 kilometers per hour. Okay, I can tell you that I can't remember driving Category 5, but I remember driving Category 4. Go and find out how fast that is. Okay, but anyway, this is it, when you're in the hurricane, chaos, the wind is blowing like crazy. Okay, and the fastest hurricane ever recorded was 310 kilometers per hour. It was during the 80s. 310 kilometers per hour. Imagine you can't even stand there, you know, you get blown away. Okay? But do you know that in every hurricane, right, there is an eye? You know? In every hurricane, there's an eye. And do you know how it is inside the eye? It looks like this. Peace. Serenity. Calmness. Okay? This is how it looks like in the eye of a hurricane. You know, when God gives you peace, regardless of whatever challenges that you're facing in your life, okay, you will find that peace. And you know, in that peace, right, what will happen is that you will not only get peace, but you also get inspiration, you get wisdom, knowledge, understanding, so that you know how to overcome the challenges in your life. So amazing, right? Just by obeying God, you get peace and you get long life. You don't get it through superstitions, right? You know, we Chinese are an amazing lot, you know, we are really superstitious, especially when it comes to numbers. Right? And what number does Chinese people don't like? Number 4. Why 4? Because it sounds like, say ya, die! Alright? So what we do, you know, we are so superstitious, we change the number to 3A, correct? Not just like the unit I'm living in, 6B53A. But I'm okay with that because the developer changed, not I changed. Okay? You know, so maybe this is one of the reasons why Chinese names have 3 only, comes in 3s, right? Right, like Cheong Mi Yok laughing over there. Oh, my wife, To Pui Ling, you know. But you know what, Trish? When you look at my IC, right, actually, my name has 4. Terrence Tay Lai Hock. 4. Right? But it's okay, I'm Chinese because it's not 4, it's 3A. I have 3 Chinese names and 1 Ang Mo name. A, okay? Anyway, coming back to obedience, right? Coming to obedience. God is not only asking you to obey Him. In fact, God is asking you to obey your parents as well. Okay? In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, it says, hear my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. And he said it again, okay, in chapter 6, verse 20. He says, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. In fact, God put so much importance in honoring and obeying your parents that he actually listed it in the Ten Commandments. Do you all remember the Ten Commandments? Okay, I'll show you the Ten Commandments just in case you can't remember. All right? Okay, the first 4 talks about God. It's all commandments pertaining to God, okay, and it's all warning, okay. And then the last 5 talks about our neighbor or the people that are around us. That means you don't steal, kill. It means all these are affecting the people around us, correct? But number five is really pertaining to parents. Honor thy father and mother. And you know what, church? If you go and read the Ten Commandments through and through, right, you will find that only one commandment comes with a promise, and it is this commandment number five. Okay? Let's all read together. Okay, 1, 2, 3, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father, thy mother, all right? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Okay, that means you got to honor your parents. And what was the promise that is given here? Long life, okay? So if you want to live a fruitful and full life, you got to obey your parents, okay? Remember those days when you're growing up, or probably some mothers are using it today, okay? They always say, it's for your own good, okay? Well, it's kind of like that. It is for your own good, right? Because if you listen to your parents, you listen to your mother, your father, right? Bible says you will have long life. Okay, and if you remember a movie, a cartoon, Disney cartoon called Tangled. Have you ever seen that movie before? Right? Rapunzel's stepmom sings, Mother knows best. Okay, so you cannot run away. Okay, you cannot run away. You know, we are all littered with obedience, the word obey. Okay, obey. All right? So church, obedience is actually the key to a long and fruitful life. Okay, so the first one rule is O, is obedience. The second one is nourish your heart, N, okay, nourish your heart. So why is it important to nourish your hearts? Why? In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, it says here that people may be right in their eyes, but the Lord examines their heart. Imagine that. We look at the outer, but God looks the inside. So it is important that our hearts is nourished, right? It is right, okay? You know, on top of that, right, Proverbs 4:2 also says that keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Or NCV version says that be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Your thoughts, imagine, okay? What we from our heart, right, is what we think. Also, some people just like, very short, but the standard route is here to here and down, come out, okay? All right? So what we think, we have to be very careful. I'm sure you all would have heard of this before. Be careful of your thoughts, for they will become words. Be careful of your words, for they will become actions. And be careful of your actions, for they will become habits. And be careful of your habits, for they will become a character. And be careful of your character, because at the end of the day, it will become your destiny. That is where you will head towards. All it takes is a thought, and it will bring out, change the course. You know, they say like a ship, right? A ship is a long ship, but you know how they steer the ship? It's just a small little rudder. Small, you know. You just turn that, right? The whole ship. So same thing with your heart, okay? What is in your heart, okay, will determine where you will go, your destiny. A lot of people think that this one is said by Mahatma Gandhi, right? So I did some research, and actually it was said by a Chinese philosopher by the name of Lao Tzu. Did I pronounce correct? Lao Tzu. I don't know. Okay. Mandarin is not my first language. Okay. So, again, right, if you look at Luke chapter 6, 45, right, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. Out of the treasure of a heart. Okay. And the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You know, Pastor was talking about how to control your tongue, right? And I was saying just now, your tongue is so small only, okay? If you include the back part here, probably is this long. And there's no bones. And yet, right, it is sharper than a double-edged sword. It can kill, and yet it can bring life, okay? Your words, when you speak, okay, is from your heart, from your mouth, okay? So when you say something, right, you actually mean it, you know? Because you say a first time out from your mouth, you mean it. Don't say, sorry, I didn't mean what I was saying. I was, sorry lah, too late, okay? So check your heart. The condition of your heart is very important, because that is what God looks at. Okay? All right, church? So the question is, Proverbs 12:14 also says that from the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good work, and the work of a man's hand comes back to him. All right? From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. My mom always says this, you know, if you don't open your mouth, right, people won't say you're dumb. It is wisdom. You only open your mouth when you need to. Okay? Don't simply breath, breath. You know, you just let go everything, you know. You let go, let go, let go. Then people say, hey, this fella. you get what I mean? Okay? All right? Okay? So from your mouth, good things will come. Okay? Can kill, can bring life. It can bring success, can bring failure. All right? So be very, very, very careful. Okay? All right? So, question is how to nourish our hearts. How to nourish our hearts. Right? And in Psalms 119 verse 11, it says here, for I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. You know, the only way that we can nourish our heart is actually through our daily devotion with God. You know, reading His word, meditating upon His word, and also praying. You know, the communication, the constant communication and relationship with God actually nourishes our heart. It's just like the relationship that we have with our family. Okay? All right? So, the condition of our heart determines our actions and words, which can bring us success. That means we are fruitful and peace. That means we're going to have long life. Okay? So, church, the one rule, first one, O stands for obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And number two, N is nourish your heart. Okay? All right. The last one, okay, E. What is E? E stands for embrace. Embrace, embrace Jesus. And you know, church, when I say embrace Jesus here, right, I'm not just saying that go and hug Him. Okay? All right? When I say embrace Jesus, right, I'm asking you to put Jesus at the center of everything. Center of everything. All right? When you put Him first, you know what you'll get? When you put God first, what you get? In Proverbs chapter 8, 35, it says, for whoever finds me, find God. Finds what? Life. Finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Why is favor so important? Why is favor so important? You know, favor, right, can be very good one, you know. Or in fact, I think favor is very, very good because it can bring success. Okay? Favor of God, you get success and you'll be very fruitful. Imagine now if this is a badge, you know, like the police, you know, this is the police! Then they have the police badge, right? And then somebody comes out to you and give you this badge, God's favor. Say, hey, bro, this badge, God's favor. Every time when you want to get a contract, right, you just think, God's favor! You sure secure the contract one? Alright? Every time you have something to do, right? You know, you need to get something done, right? You just say, God's favor! Oh, sure, you can be successful. Would you want that badge? Of course, right? Who doesn't want that badge? Oh, I want it, right? But you know, it is free. It is free of charge. You don't have to go and bribe your way to get it, okay? Alright, it's free of charge. All you need to do is find God. Embrace Jesus. Alright? Okay? Alright? Proverbs 3:6 says, remember the Lord in all you do and He will give you success. Success. Just imagine that. You know, church, I want to share with you a little bit about favor of God and success. You know, in 2012, right, I took on a very crazy adventure in my life. 2012, I actually went to Sarawak, okay, to take on a project. Right? My company sent me to Sarawak to take on a project. It's a 5-year project. Okay, and what I was supposed to do in Sarawak is actually I work in a bank. And you know, in a bank, it's not an NGO. We talk about profit. We are a profit organization. And for us to be profitable, we got to lend money out. Correct? We give people money. I get people indebted, so I make money. So I got to give people loans, right? But you know, when I went to Sarawak, my job was something called de-risking. Have you heard the word before, de-risking? Anyone? None, right? Okay. I tell you what de-risking means. De-risking means, right, the entire Sarawak book, right, the entire Sarawak business, right, we want to close. Okay? That means I go there to actually exit 400 over customers, you know. And before you exit the customer, right, since you're going to close down a business, right, what do you need to do? You need to close down the center also, right? So my first job was to give VSS letter to everyone. Then after that, I tell them, oh, wait, before you leave, there's another job for you to do. We've got to exit the 400 old customers. You think it's easy going to lead this group of people to go and see customers and say, hey, sorry, we want to take back the loan. You know, I remember there was one case, right? I went with my staff. We went to see this customer. We just released about 30 million loan to them, you know, for them to build a factory and things like that. Just released not long ago. And then the customer has a stroke, you know, on the right side of his body. So he shake with his left hand. Okay? So I was going there to see the customer. I was telling my staff, you know, I remember saying this. You know, today, two possible things can happen. First thing is, we give the customer a full stroke. That means the other side also stroke. 30 million on how to pay back, right? Or miraculously, he's healed. You know why? Because he would jump across the table and strangle us. You know? Is that crazy, you know? You know, but before I take on all this, right, actually, I committed it to the Lord. I prayed. You know, I said, God, you got to help me. You know? And, you know, as I seek God, right, God's favor is upon me. And when you have God's favor on you, right, you will have the favor of man also. And you know what? That five-year project, right, actually turned out to be 2.5 years only. Actually, we completed it in 2.5 years, half the time. And I came back to West Malaysia in mid of 2014. Okay, mid of 2014. I went in December 2012, so I came back mid of 2014. So it's about 2.5 years. Okay, and you know what's the amazing thing? You know, not only God grants me favor and success, you know what? That 2.5 years, right? I went for Sarawak to came back. Right? You know what happened? My salary more than doubled also. Amazing, right? God not only grants you favor and success, you know, he even bless you, you know. All you need to do is embrace him, that's all. Just put God center of everything that you do. You know, I remember praying every case before I go and see customers, I pray, God, you help me to talk to customers that they will understand, that they will agree, amen. Then we'll go inside, talk to customer. It's not easy. There was once, I remember a customer was like, wow, he's a big, tall, huge guy, and he was like looking at me with the eye, and like, want to punch me, and that, you know. And I was like sitting there, my leg at the table, right, ready. In case he punched, I kick the table, I zoo, slide away. It's crazy, really crazy, okay? So imagine, all you need to do is embrace Jesus, and you will be fruitful, and you will live a full life. Amen? All right? You know, in John 15:4, it says, abide in me and I in you. You know, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Okay? So if you want to be fruitful, you have to be abiding in Christ. Okay? You got to embrace Jesus. All right? So you need to embrace Jesus in your life if you want to live a fruitful and full life. Amen? So church, what is the key to living a fruitful and full life? Number one, obedience is better than sacrifice, right? Okay? Of course, number two, it's nourish your hearts. And number three is embracing Jesus. Okay, as I conclude, can I have the worship team back? Okay. As I conclude, right, I just want to tell you, church, that living a fruitful and full life is not about fame and fortune. Okay, it is about doing what we are called to do. And as every nation church, what are we called to do? We are called to honor God, make disciples. You know, and when you honor God, church, when you honor God, I can tell you one thing, God will honor you back. For sure, 110% guaranteed. You honor God, God will honor you back. And when God honors you, he will give you favor. And in that favor, you will also find the favor of men. And in that, you will find success in everything that you do. And you will live a fruitful and full life. Amen? Amen? So we got to do what we got to do. Okay? Socrates said this, to be is to do. Oh, very deep. To be is to do. And then this guy had to go and confuse it. Kant. To be is to do is to be. Huh? To be is to be to do. Okay? But the best one is Scooby Dooby Doo. He said what? Dooby Dooby Doo. He doesn't care. Alright? But church, I just want to tell you, you know, if you want to live that fruitful and full life, just follow that one rule, okay? Obedience better than sacrifice, because obeying God and your parents, you will receive a long life. Nourish your hearts. For out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. And of course, the last one is embrace Jesus. Okay? God will grant you success and favor. And when you make him the center of your life, all right, you will live that fruitful and full life. Amen? All right? So church, as we end, I want to encourage you, those of you who feel that, you know, you're struggling, you know, in your life, and says, "Oh God, I really need you. I want to embrace you. You know, I want to obey you. I need you to nourish my heart." You know, the altar is open. Okay, as the worship team sings, right, I want to invite you to come forward, because pastor is here, the leaders are here. We can pray for you, right? We can pray for you. But before that, I also want to invite this special group of people. You know, for those of you who feel that you have not heard, you heard about this Jesus, but you have never experienced him before. Okay, for those of you who are watching as well on online, YouTube or Facebook, right? I want to encourage you. You know, if you feel that, oh, I want to know who this Jesus is, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Shall we? So let's close our eyes and pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father God, oh, thank you, Lord, for being a great God. Lord Jesus, I want to acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I've sinned against you, Lord. And today, I want to turn away from my life of sin. I want to turn away from my life of sin to a life that you have planned for me, Lord Jesus. Please forgive me of my sins, cleanse me of my past, and make me new. And I acknowledge that, Lord, you are the Son of Jesus, the Son of God, and that Jesus died on the cross for me. And that you, Lord God, you have raised him from the dead. And today I just want to invite you into my heart and confess with my mouth and my heart that you are my personal Lord and Savior. So thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen. And if you are the one who said that prayer, all right, those of you who are online and those of you who are here, I want to encourage you to reach out to us so that, you know, we can go on this journey with you. All right? Amen? Amen. So altar is open. Do come forward.